Merkle Media.
Good, everybody. This is Joel Thomas, and this is Free the Rabbits. And how are all the free range rabbits doing out there today? Listen, I know how many people follow the show. It's a good many of you that do. I could only imagine if right now, before the show even gets going, if you haven't done it already, go to Apple Podcasts, go to Spotify, go to YouTube, leave a 5-star review where you can, write a review where you can, or leave a comment where you can, and see what you can do to help the show grow even more than it already has. To everybody that's already done that, I really appreciate it. You know I love you guys. And guess what? If you haven't done it, I'll probably read your review or comment at the end of the show like I do every week. I really appreciate it, guys. Also, I got one more thing for you. I have a live event where I'll be speaking at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree October 5th. From 9 a.m. to about 7 p.m., I'll be one of the speakers there. I'll be talking about some of my dogman trips, my Bigfoot trips where I've gone out in the woods hunting for these cryptids, and I'll also be meeting with everyone that follows Free the Rabbits or any of the other shows I've been on. I'll be there with Cryptids of the Corn, Jake Dressel, B. Mills, John Hickenbottom, and guess who else is going to be there just hanging out and selling merch? Tony Merkle from the Confessionals. The whole Merkle Media crew is going to be there having a good time. All the tickets are sold out, guys. They were actually sold out before I even started this show, but this is going to be held at Ada War Memorial Park in Ohio. Ada, A-D-A. So it's going to be a huge event. So even if you can't come and listen to me speak, because all the tickets are sold out for that, you can still come hang out. There's going to be tons of events, tons of food, all kind of festivities going on the whole day, and you'll get to meet everybody and hang out with us. So if you can come out to that, Ada, Ohio, at the War Memorial Park, October 5th, love to see you there. But now, let's get into the show. What's up, guys? We're back with another episode of Free the Rabbits. How are all the free range rabbits doing out there today? I hope you're doing well. Pretty excited about this episode. For anyone that's listening on the RSS feed, which would mean Apple Podcast, Spotify, Podbeam, any of those that you listen to the podcast from, if you like to go to YouTube to see the video, which drops every Friday at 12 p.m., you will not be able to do so this week. This will only be on Rumble at 12 p.m. this week. There's a reason for that, because the topic matter today will not be a YouTube-friendly podcast. Now, I'm going to keep this in the pocket as much as possible as far as we're not going to get too crazy with anything vastly explicit, but just the subject matter alone, certain keywords get flagged and YouTube could pull the channel, throw a flag at us, whatever. I'm just mitigating some of that by letting people know that you can go to Rumble. You can download the app right now. You can type in Free the Rabbits and the channel's there. So all of the shows every week are uploaded there just like they are YouTube. But if you have Rumble, there will be extra episodes that you will get throughout my tenure because of the very fact that YouTube isn't as friendly with some of the topic matter that I'd like to talk about, and this week's episode being one of those. And I've been wanting to do a more in-depth look at this particular topic because it's been running rampant through the conspiratorial community for the better part of, I don't know, 10, 15 years. I know the term EGI or elite gender inversion has been around for maybe 8-ish. Been around for a little while. It got really hot in 2017, I'll say that. When Trump got in office, right around that 2016, before that, when the QAnon movement really hit its crescendo, you had a lot of these other conspiracies that kind of spewed out from it, right? Because a lot of what QAnon was pushing was the pedophile movement that was moving in and out of Hollywood and politics and different avenues of celebrity, right? But this was another part of that, was this elite gender inversion, and the people who try to spot out where EGI is at in politics, sports, or Hollywood are called transvestigators. Okay, so these are all technical terms. So just understand, I'm going to stay in the pocket on this one. We're not going to get too, like I said, explicit or anything, but I'm just going to try to map out this conspiracy the best I can from what it's been presented to us as, and then I'm going to give you my thoughts throughout what I really think is going on with this whole EGI movement and this subset of the conspiratorial world. Now, could some of it be true? Is all of it true? We'll get to the bottom of that today, but I really want to look at this conspiracy just like I look at any other conspiracies. Is there some truth to it? Maybe. Is it all true? Probably not. And I think that this is one of those ones that I will lean heavily back on episode one, the Cass Sunstein effect, that this would be one of those that I believe falls heavily under that category of cognitive infiltration and what three-letter agencies do to disrupt people trying to get actual truth out. And I want to talk more about this particular conspiracy because it's interesting. And I'm not saying that there aren't things that while you're looking into it, you're like, wow, that might be. But then it starts getting so far out that you just have to reel yourself in and realize that there has to be some sort of manipulation going on with this particular conspiracy theory. Now, I'm going to tell you what transvestigation is. It's a portmanteau, which a portmanteau in linguistics is a blend, also known as a blend word, lexical blend. Basically, if you take smoke and fog and it creates the word smog, or motor and hotel, it creates motel. That is what a portmanteau is, and that is what transvestigation is a blend of transgender and investigation. So the people that try to find these anomalies in Hollywood or sports or politics, that's why they're called transvestigators, because they are trying to find transgenders that are hidden in the esoteric. We're not talking about the exoteric where you have people like Bruce Jenner who have come out as Caitlyn Jenner. This is a known thing. They come out as transgender. This is more on the esoteric hidden route, and they say that it is an ode to Baphomet, and I will get into Baphomet in this episode as well, but that's kind of the basis. It's these elites have infiltrated, and I wouldn't even say infiltrated, according to them, they've created the celebrity structure, and every single one of them, and I mean this, this is what these followers of EGI say, that every single person in Hollywood is a transgender. And they've been transitioning from birth, from elite families who have had sexual relations with surrogates outside of their families, so that way you won't know their last name. Let's just say, for instance, the Rothschilds, right? Say they want to create celebrities or politicians to implement into a Hollywood structure or political structure. They wouldn't have them from their own families because they would have their last name, Rothschild. So then people would have this idea, like, wait a minute, why are the Rothschilds suddenly taking over politics? So the idea is, according to the EGI people, that they go outside of their families, have relations with someone else, and it creates a child of a different last name, but that way they can implement their bloodline into a celebrity structure. And what they say is when they're children, they transition them at a very young age, so you never know that they are the opposite sex, and then they basically train them and groom them to be a celebrity. That is it in a nutshell, but we will break down further today about how that they are able to spot them out using these markers. We're going to talk again about Baphomet and why it's said that this whole EGI, this elite gender inversion, is a proclamation to the god Baphomet. We're going to talk about what the god Baphomet actually is, because I know a lot of people associate it with Satanism and satanic practices. And yes, Satanism and satanic practices have adopted Baphomet in a lot of ways as a way to fight the system of religion, but Baphomet is not a symbol of Satanism. That is not where it came from. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that that is not the actual origin of this god Baphomet. But we're going to get back into this EGI. So the key aspect of this conspiracy theory, it asserts that many celebrities, if not all, and I want to put that back out there again. I have seen some of these people that are so hard up on EGI, they will say every single one of them. And I'm actually going to break down percentages of transgenderism and show you how that's just not possible. Like, it's really not. And I'll even give you the out and show you how it might be possible, but that in and of itself is going to show you how it's just not possible. Again, I just think people get so deep-rooted and so down the rabbit hole with some of this stuff, they can't pull themselves out. And they don't even realize that these three-letter organizations help create these fantasy conspiracies that drag people down a rabbit hole that they can't get out of. Now, I do want to say this. I'm not throwing this conspiracy theory all the way out. And you will see as I'm breaking down different facets of it, how there could be pockets of truths in this. And I'm not saying that the quote-unquote elites don't have gods that they worship and things they do to worship these gods through media, through sports, through politics. It absolutely happens. But what I'm trying to explain to you is it's not all of it. It's just like when people say that a politician or a celebrity is a clone, right? They reappear after some sort of sickness, or they disappear for a while, they come back looking different. Listen, I'm going to say this about cloning too, and that's a whole other episode, and I will someday get on clones at some point and talk to you what I think about clones. It's just not all, and I don't even think it's close to being all. Matter of fact, I don't even know how good they are at cloning behind the scenes to be able to pull that off quickly, you know, and maybe they can. And I'm not saying they don't have a crazy amount of technology behind the scenes. And maybe it lends to what I've talked about with the meat sack theory. Maybe the clone is some sort of meat sack that looks like a said celebrity or whatever, and an entity takes over it. I would probably be a little bit more inclined that way than actual cloning. But I'm not saying cloning doesn't exist. I'm not saying that sometimes stuff looks weird. But I would say a lot of the stuff that we see that looks weird when it comes to politicians or celebrities, deep fakes are a real thing. And AI technology is a real thing. And we know that it's really good. And that's just for you and I to use. So to say that the technology is even more advanced behind the scenes to be able to show people something, but it actually not be that when it comes across a screen, because, you know, we're all sitting on these screens, these phones, all the time. So it'd be very easy to manipulate something through that. So again, I lend more to the idea of deep fake and that type of technology as opposed to cloning, EGI to some extent. You know, we're getting into that today, but I'm not saying that cloning doesn't exist. I'm not saying that there couldn't be clones. And I just know that people go to that immediately. It's the same thing with EGI. As soon as you hear a celebrity had IVF, that's because she's a man. She's not a woman. Maybe, right? I'm not throwing out the possibility. But let's also talk about the fact that these are very wealthy celebrities who probably don't want to ruin their bodies. And here's the best part about IVF. You can put an egg and a sperm in a petri dish, add a little flavor, a little sprinkle top on top of it, and adjust the DNA, the genetics of your child into something more superior. Now, we can get down that road of what they're mixing it with. That's a whole nother topic. But I think that's way more plausible than saying that that's the reason they're doing it, because they're some sort of transgender in hiding. Not all. Hey, again, we're going to get into it today and what I really think about it. But that's why I want to talk about this topic today, because I've been down the rabbit hole deep in this thing. And as deep as I've gone, I haven't sat there and been like, yep, that's it. They're all this. Like, no way. Absolutely no way. And that's my honest opinion. But as we go through this, you'll understand why I think that. So back to this idea of EGI, it asserts that many celebrities and other prominent individuals are transgender. And conversely, that some openly transgender celebrities are actually cisgender. So they go as far as to say that, hey, the ones that are showing you they're trans aren't actually. They're actually straight people who are playing a role. I could buy it. A lot of these people are actors. You know, I've argued that some of the biggest transgender names that are out there might actually be straight. It might just be a role. I don't know if you ever guys ever saw that movie Harold and Kumar Christmas. I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was the third one. And Neil Patrick Harris is in it, and he's been in all of them. But by the third one, in real life, he'd come out as gay. So his gay partner's in the movie with him, but he's just acting gay as a celebrity, and behind the scenes, he's actually straight, and he's using the homosexual moniker to pull in as many straight women as he can. So I thought that was kind of funny. If you want to say that movies can be revelation of the method, that might be a perfect example of that. So that I lean more heavily towards, because you're looking at actors who play roles. They play roles all the time. They play roles when they're talking to people. I've known actors, sometimes you can't tell if they're being real with you or not in real life. So why wouldn't they be able to play a role like that if they're getting paid for it to push some sort of ideology or agenda that some company wants them to push, right? Say, hey, we want you to adopt this facade, and we're going to pay you a lot for it. A lot of people would be down to do that, especially an actor who that's what they do for a living, right? So that I lean a little bit more heavily towards. The methodology used by transvestigators adhering to this theory is subject to pareidolia and often suffers from confirmation bias. So pareidolia, if you don't know what that means, is the tendency for perception to impose a meaningful interpretation or a nebulous stimulus, usually visual, so that one detects an object pattern or meaning where there is none. So that would be like if you took a picture of something in the woods and the leaves looked a certain way, you know, that's a face. oh, that's an entity coming out. It's about to get me. You know, I would say that that's something, as someone who actually hunts stuff in the woods, we always have to look out for, is this actually a thing, or is this just the way that the lighting is, or the way the leaves look against the tree? You know, a perfect example would be when NASA put out pictures of Mars. I mean, we're talking years and years and years and years and years ago. You know, they had the face on Mars and the pyramids on Mars, and everybody's freaking out. Well, you know, you got a crowd that believes that there's not even space. So for you guys, just negate everything I'm talking about right now and then hone back in on me here in about 2 minutes. So you had those pictures come out. Some people think they're real. They think there are pyramids on Mars. If you believe in space, I wouldn't say that's out of the realm of possibility, and it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that NASA would show you this stuff and say it's nothing. I thought that was really weird when they put it out and then said it was nothing at all. Oh, it's just pareidolia. That's all it is. You're just imagining these things. But anyway, those are examples of what people would consider to be pareidolia. And confirmation bias is the tendency to search for, interpret, favor, and recall information in a way that confirms or supports one's prior beliefs or values. So basically, they're saying that transvestigators get sucked into this idea of pareidolia because they're seeing things that aren't really there. And then the confirmation bias comes in because they're making whatever they see fit the belief system that they have. And I think we all do that. I know I do. I knew most people do. You have a certain set belief system. It's very tough to look at things objectively. And I think that's something I've been trying more and more and more to do over the past few years, is to set my beliefs aside, look at the info in front of me objectively, and then say, okay, this is or isn't this. And there are certain things in my belief system that I'm not going to sway on. So when I'm looking at certain things, yeah, I'm going to look at it objectively, but I'm also going to look at it in the context of my belief system too. And, you know, some people might call that confirmation bias. Again, I think we all have it to some extent. Now, some of the people that are accused of EGI are Taylor Swift, Madonna, Melania Trump, Margot Robbie, Michelle Obama, which I will speak a little bit about today. We're not doing a whole thing about that, but that will come up today because it's always like one of the big ones that always pops up. We've got athletes like Serena Williams and Katie Ledecky, and we've also got Brigitte Macron, the First Lady of France, who actually filed a suit against accusations that she previously identified as a man. So that's an interesting one we will talk about a little bit about later as well. Now, recently, there was a big one that came up. It was about a woman named Amani Khalif. Amani Khalif is an Algerian professional boxer. She won the welterweight boxing gold medal at the 2024 Summer Olympics. Now, if you guys are tapped into the conspiracy world or even just mainstream politics, this was a huge, major thing. And I will say, unrightfully so. And if anyone disagrees with me on this, I'm sorry, I'm going to hold firm on this one. I've done a lot of research about this particular woman, and I will say woman because she is a woman. It was all over Fox News. It was all over the conspiratorial world's hot, red hot, hot takes, hot reads, that this woman who previously identified as a man from Algeria was tearing up these poor women in boxing. Tearing them up. And there it is, the push for transgenderism. It's taken over. Listen, we all know that there are definite instances of there being a biological man who has been implemented into a woman's sport who dominates. That I am on record as against. Absolutely. I don't think there's any place for it. And I think people should stand up and push back against it. You will hear this come out of my mouth over and over again. However, Amani Khalif is not one of them. As a matter of fact, it's not even close. It's just not. So I'm going to break down a little bit about why that it's actually not. So Amani Khalif, and there was another woman's boxer too, Lin Yuting, and they were both accused especially Amani, because she won the entire welterweight women's boxing at the Olympics. But it all really started in 2023 when the IBF, the International Boxing Association, came out and said she failed an unspecified gender eligibility test. Okay, and this is a Russian-led organization. And I make a point of that because it's going to be an issue here in a second when I explain to you about the IBF and how the IBF has been discredited already for making allegations that were untrue. And they're a pretty seedy group, as a matter of fact. So I wouldn't take too much of what they say to have any weight to it. So Amani and Lynn actually competed in the Olympic boxing tournament in 2020. Nobody knew this. Nobody knew this. As a matter of fact, they both lost. I don't know if people knew this, but Amani Khalif was like 9-5 going into these Olympics. She wasn't like dominating people like you would think that a biological man should, especially one that is tall and should have that masculine DNA that would overpower a woman in the same field. So she was actually 9-5 and wasn't dominant. So again, none of this makes sense. 2020, nobody was screaming and yelling about this at all. You know why? Because she was a woman. That's why. So then in 2023, she goes to the Women's World Championships and faced scrutiny from the IBA after defeating Russian boxer Azalia Aminova to advance to the welterweight final. She was disqualified by the IBA hours before the match, reportedly for having high levels of testosterone. So again, high levels of testosterone does not mean you're a man. It means a couple things. One, you could have XY chromosomes, which means that you have a hormonal imbalance, or you shot up with something to boost your testosterone to go in there a little bit stronger. Now, that I'm not agreeing with, but I'm saying that doesn't make you a man because you're shooting up steroids. It just doesn't. So back to the IBA, they've actually faced allegations of corruption, which prompted the IOC to suspend its recognition of the organization in 2019 and have Olympic boxing instead governed by an internal task force during the 2020 and 2024 games. Umar Kremlev was elected as the IBA's president in 2020. And after that, the organization also began to face allegations that it was increasingly serving Russian interests, with additional concerns raised over irregularities in a 2022 election that kept Kremlev in power unopposed. So again, this is a seedy group, the IBA, and maybe they were looking at Amani as an absolute threat to take the world title, didn't want her to have it. Matter of fact, maybe she did have testosterone in her system and they caught it. That's a possibility too. So the best part is that was the original report that the testosterone levels were too high. Kremlev later came out and claimed that an unspecified DNA testing of Khalif and other athletes proved they had XY chromosomes and were thus excluded from the sports events. So it's not just her, it was several that he came out with, no, something's wrong here. But this is after the fact. It was after they said that it was testosterone testing. So Khalif actually made an appeal against it and tried to push back for a while, but realized she wasn't going to win and withdrew it later. So she goes to the Olympics, she tests fine, goes in there and dominates the event, which she actually didn't do 4 years ago. She lost, didn't even get to the finals, but she ends up winning the whole thing this time because, I don't know, hard work, maybe, maybe steroids. Maybe they caught her with steroids before and she came off the steroids, and maybe the steroids had already gotten her to a size she wanted to compete at. I'm not throwing that out either. I'm just saying that it's highly impossible that Khalif is a man. Also, Algerian transgender laws are absolutely insane. Like, they're next level. And what I mean by that is, they'll kill you in the streets. It's illegal. It's illegal in Algeria to be a transgender, to be a homosexual, anything, LGBTQ, whatever, anything, it's illegal there. Article 338 of Algerian law, anyone guilty of a homosexual act is punishable with imprisonment of between 2 months and 2 years and with a fine of 500 to 2,000 Algerian dinars. If one of the participants is below 18 years old, the punishment for the older person can be raised to 3 years imprisonment and a fine of 10,000 dinars. Article 333 of Algerian law, when the outrage to public decency has consisted of an act against nature with an individual of the same sex, the penalty is imprisonment between 6 months and 3 years and a fine of between 1,000 and 10,000 Algerian dinars. Matter of fact, vigilante executions, beatings, and torture are also allowed with police joining in on the attacks, being complicit, or turning a blind eye, which happens all the time. What I'm trying to say is it would be illegal for her to be a transgender, but nobody spent the 5 minutes it took me to figure this out when that went down. Because one thing I've been learning more and more is not to get suckered in just looking at a headline article or looking at a 30 to 2 minute clip that flashes by my screen and get suckered into it immediately. It's very easy. You know why? Because we're emotional people, and it's very easy to get emotional over something without looking at the facts. And I think this whole EGI thing is littered with that mentality. And this was a perfect example because the EGI people were all over this, pushing it. And it's just not true. And I'm going to hold pretty firm on this one. If it comes out later that she's a man, you guys can rake me over the coals. But there's just too many red flags here for me to be like, nah, I'm sorry. I don't buy into this. And again, this is just another example of something that gets put into the conspiratorial ecosphere that people push without knowing anything that's going on. And then it makes everyone look bad because, yeah, we're trying to question narratives. We're trying to question what's going on in the world. But when this type of stuff takes root, it's hard to do. And I would even say with this EGI stuff, if there is some truth to it, which I'm going to tell you, I think there is a small, super sliver, small percentage that could fall under this category, that it makes that questioning all negated. It all falls under this, for lack of a better word, craziness that the mainstream is going to point at and say, look, you guys are idiots. You can't even spend 5 minutes to look and see this boxer is actually a woman. So I just want to put out that story as I delve into the deeper layers here, because that was one that really just keyed me off. And matter of fact, when that happened, I was like, yeah, I'm for sure doing an EGI episode now, because I just feel like that we all get sucked into these conspiracies so quickly and don't even realize that we're getting manipulated just as bad as the people that we rail against. And again, I don't need to go into that again here, because you can go back to episode one, listen to the Cass Sunstein Effect, where I do talk in depth about how that's done. So the entity or God, this idea of EGI is built around, is Baphomet. And I'm going to break down a little bit about Baphomet, where this entity comes from, what it actually is, and why that it's said that the celebrities, athletes, politicians are the esoteric inversion of what they are gender-wise to proclaim their obedience to Baphomet. So Baphomet is a deity which the Knights Templar were accused of worshiping that subsequently became incorporated into various occult and Western esoteric traditions. So the idea of Baphomet came from the Knights Templar, at least historically. That's what we know of it. It's not to say that the Baphomet entity wasn't before that, because it has had other versions that are very similar to what the modern version of Baphomet is, and we will talk about that here in a second too. Baphomet is a symbol of balance in various occult and mystical traditions, the origin of which some occultists have attempted to link with the Gnostics and Templars, although occasionally purported to be a deity or demon. Since 1856, the name Baphomet has been associated with the Sabbatic goat image drawn by Eliphas Levi, composed of binary elements representing the symbolization of the equilibrium of opposites, half human, a half animal, male and female, and good and evil. So this is this idea of as above, so below, and you'll see that with the Baphomet symbol from Eliphas Levi, the one that he drew that everyone knows as the main symbol of what Baphomet looks like. So the first appearance, the name Baphomet, appears July 1098 in a letter about the siege of Antioch by the French crusader Anselm of Ribamont. He says, as the next day dawned, they, the inhabitants of Antioch, called loudly upon Baphomet, and we prayed silently in our hearts to God. Then we attacked and forced all of them outside the city walls. Raymond of Aquilers, a chronicler of the First Crusade, reports that the troubadours used the term Baphomet, B-A-F-O-M-E-T, for Muhammad, and Baphomeria for a mosque. So you'll see some of these early versions of the name Baphomet was actually attributed to Islamic nations and Islamic religion. So the word Baphomet is attributed to Muhammad. So you'll see a lot of this in the Crusades, where you've got the Christians invading these Islamic countries, and they're doing it because they are going against Baphomet. And the idea is the Knights Templar, while they were a part of these Crusades, they started implementing these esoteric ideas of Islam into their rituals. Matter of fact, they do have a ritual that was part of an initiation rite that did simulate the worship of Baphomet. So some of these things are definitely linked to the Knights Templar. You'll actually see this in Freemasonry, and I know that Freemasons will push back and say that, you know, Baphomet is not worshiping Freemasonry. I will say a lot of the imagery is there, and it is said in the upper echelon parts of Freemasonry, when you get to degrees that they will tell you don't exist, that Islam comes in heavily. It's like a lot of Christianity up front, but then that back end is Islamic traditions that are mixed in with this mystical idea of building of King Solomon. So I would encourage people to dig into that a little bit. Maybe I do an episode on that one day too. I know you guys are already here, always hearing me say that on these episodes where I'm like, yeah, no, maybe I'll do an episode on that one day. Cause I feel like I start talking about one thing and then there's like a million other like splinter cells breaking off. I'm like, oh man, I could do that. But I got to hone in and stay in the pocket here. So back to the Templars. Baphomet was allegedly worshipped as a deity by the Knights Templar. King Philip IV of France had many French Templars simultaneously arrested and then tortured into confessions in October 1307. The name Baphomet appeared in trial transcripts for the Inquisition of the Knights Templar that same year. They were accused of a lot of stuff: heresy, homosexual relations, spitting and urinating on the cross, and sodomy. A lot of these were actually dubious. When it was discovered that a lot of these Knights Templar were just confessing to crimes they didn't actually do because they were trying to live. As a matter of fact, the same charges were leveled against the Cathars, which were King Philip's enemies as well. So he was anybody he captured, and he started putting them through inquisitions. It was the same type of stuff. You did these things, and we're going to put this on you. Now, the crazy thing is about the Knights Templar, though, when you dig into a lot of their rituals and rites, some of that stuff actually happened. So it is said that they indeed did spit on the cross, and there were levels of sodomy, and there was a level of worship to Baphomet. So it wasn't quite what Philip IV was saying. I don't know if he actually had the exact, you know, knowledge of what they were doing. I think he just kind of had an overarching idea, and they just accused all of them of it. And I don't know if it was necessarily all of them. It could have been some of them, you know, maybe it was all, I don't know, but it's very muddy about the Knights Templar, exactly what was going on there. Because again, some of it was very dubious that he was pushing on them. But then when you started looking through their documents, like, well, no, I actually did this, 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 and this. So again, it's very up for debate exactly what the Knights Templar were doing, but we do know that Baphomet was a part of it. And this is kind of where the idea of the modern day Baphomet comes from, is the Knights Templar and who they were actually worshiping behind the scenes. Now, back to the French occultist, Elvis Levi, he wrote The Doctrine and Ritual of High Magic. And that is when he brought forth the modern day incarnation of Baphomet. And his drawing was imagined as a Sabbatic goat, which was a hermaphroditic winged human figure with the head and feet of a goat that is adorned with numerous esoteric symbols. Now, Eliphas Levi was born Alphonse Louis Constant, was a French esotericist, poet, and writer. He initially pursued an ecclesiastical career in the Catholic Church. He abandoned the priesthood in his mid-20s and became a ceremonial magician. At the age of 40, he began professing knowledge of the occult. He wrote over 20 books on magic, Kabbalah, alchemical studies, and occultism. He actually left the Grand Orient de France, which was the French Masonic organization that originated continental Freemasonry, and in the belief that the original meanings of its symbols and rituals have been lost. He said, "I ceased being a Freemason at once because the Freemasons excommunicated by the Pope did not believe in tolerating Catholicism. The essence of Freemasonry is the tolerance of all beliefs," which he's not wrong about that. Me coming from my Freemason background is very true. You just need to believe in the great architect. Doesn't matter what God you believe in, as long as you believe in a God. That is just one of the requirements before you can even go through any of the rituals. So he's not wrong there. Now, I will say that he had a very similar belief system as Aleister Crowley, because Crowley also beefed with Freemasonry as well. And he also felt like the original symbols and rituals had been lost. That's why he started at Thelema. So he believed that there was an actual right way to tap into these occult symbols and these esoteric practices, and that Freemasonry had been muddled down, which I kind of think it's true. I think at the base level, I don't think most Freemasons actually know what's going on. I think they get in there, it's just a fraternity. They don't actually know the symbols that they're purveying and what they're doing. But the guys at the top do. And I think the higher you get, the more they know. And that goes with pretty much anything, you know, even at your job, it's the same thing. The guys at the top know more than the guys at the bottom. That's why the guys at the bottom don't know when they're about to get laid off. So Eliphas's Baphomet, although the Baphomet drawn by Eliphas Levi is one of the most famous esoteric images worldwide, it is well established that it has been seen as a symbolic representation of Levi's magnetistic magical concept of the astral light. But the historical background of this meaning remains largely obscure. And keep that in mind, astral light, because this is going to tie into Crowley's idea of Baphomet too. These are more of your modern incarnations. And this is, I honestly believe this is what Baphomet really is. And honestly, what he was presenting himself before to maybe even the Knights Templar. I just think that these entities can manifest different ways. We talk about anything from light beings to looking different throughout history. You'll see hieroglyphs change, cave drawings change throughout history, but they kind of have a central theme. It's very similar to this idea too. Now, the modern day Baphomet, the organizers who successfully attracted enormous media interest could draw on a close association between Baphomet, devil worship, and Satanism that had been established at least since the 1960s, but reaches back to the end of the 19th century. In this context, the Baphomet is often and erroneously identified with an inverted pentagram superimposed on a goat's head. So this was more given to the Baphomet symbol, the pentagram that creates the goat head. It actually isn't even the original idea of what the pentagram is. It's not even the original idea of what Baphomet is. This is a modern incarnation. Now, not to say that modern day Satanists and pagan worshipers haven't adopted it. They have. But I will say that this was something that was given to these symbols. It wasn't what these symbols originated as. So we got to keep that in mind a lot of times with some of these symbols. They're not exactly what we think they are. They're esoteric symbols. They have even deeper meanings behind them than what we're just seeing on face value. So to Eliphas Levi and Satanism, he hardly qualified as a Satanist. He was neither satanic nor anti-Christian. Matter of fact, he was ex-Catholic. And what's really interesting about that idea is he, when he was a Catholic, he thought of himself to represent the true Catholicism, which he opposed to the corrupted Christianity, the churches. He vehemently identified with true socialism. He regarded himself as the latest representative of a long tradition of revolutionary heretics who struggled for the realization of a universal religious association. In the 1850s, he resignified and elaborated his narrative, now identifying occultism with true Catholicism and at times more and less explicitly with true socialism. His Baphomet has to be seen as an iconic representation of this true doctrine, as the Knights Templar are considered to be the successors of the very same heretical revolutionary tradition that reached back to the Gnostics of the late ancient school of Alexandria. The environment where the momentous separation between true and false religion supposedly took place. And we're not going to go down the rabbit hole of the Gnostics today, but we do know that the Gnostics opposed the church and vice versa. And he considered himself to be a modern day Gnostic, essentially, a modern day Knights Templar. They were against the organized religion. They were for this alchemical process of becoming a god or being able to commune with the gods or the ascension of your astral body into another realm to speak to the gods. There are a million different ways we could break that part down, but he considered himself, at the end of the day, a Gnostic. So in his idea, Baphomet came from this Gnostic idea of these archons, these gods that are in this other realm that are dictating things to us. And in the Gnostic idea, it's essentially like a matrix, for lack of a better term, or a term that people nowadays would understand it as. And again, I'm not going down the rabbit hole of Gnosticism today. I think there are flaws in Gnosticism, just like I think there are flaws within the church. I will say this. I think that the organized religion of the church was implemented to control what Yeshua was trying to give us. I also think that Gnosticism was the antithesis of that, but also was inadvertently teaching us to commune with these gods that we shouldn't have been communing with. And I think it was so far the other way, when I think that always we should be in the middle, right? I think our communication with the Creator has always been there with us to the Creator. We don't need some organized religion to try to broker that for us. And we also don't need to go the other way where we're trying to ourselves become gods. That's essentially what these Gnostics were trying to do, or thought they were. And you can read a lot of these Gnostic texts, like the book of Judas, and it will give you these layers to it. That's why it doesn't match up with what I believe is true Christianity. I'm not talking about Christianity from the church. I'm just talking about the embodiment of who we're supposed to be in Christ. So I just threw that out there. Again, we're not going down the rabbit hole of Gnosticism today, but that's who Eliphas Levi considered himself to be in his era, a Gnostic. And Baphomet was also an identification of the goat of Mendes. So his idea of the androgynous goat of Mendes, which you will see a lot with alchemists, this androgyny. As a matter of fact, the infamous alchemist Fulcanelli was said to have been able to switch between male and female at will using alchemy. So that was part of this transcendental magic, being able to use alchemy to even change your DNA makeup. So that does play into this Baphomet character, which when you look at what Eliphas Levi drew, it is a combination of multiple things, male, female, and animal. And it's supposed to be that way because it's supposed to show the balance, the as above, so below. And that's what we're supposed to achieve as these Gnostic alchemists, to become the next layer or go to the next level of where we're supposed to be at as astral beings. Now, to Aleister Crowley, he also adopted Baphomet. As a matter of fact, he used to sign his letters as the beast, Baphomet, and he considered himself to be a version of Baphomet and played Baphomet in his Gnostic Mass, which there's that word Gnostic again. So they did consider themselves Gnostics. All of these alchemist and occultist, they drew heavily from the Gnostics of old. Now, in October 1917, Crowley and Rhody Minor, who became the Beast's newest version of the Scarlet Woman, they started in these rituals in New York called the Amalantra Workings, and they met several interdimensional or astral beings during these workings. One of them was Amalantra. He was a wizard. It was the main one that they met. Now, this is also where Crowley met Lamb, which would be our first depiction drawing of what we consider now to be a gray alien, or at least a version of that. There's not a lot known about what Lamb and he talked about in this astral world, but we do know a lot about what he talked about with Amalantra and this king who is associated with Ham from the Bible, according to Crowley. Now, according to Libra 729, which is the Amalantra working, at 3 a.m. on Sunday, January 20th, Rhodey asked the wizard Amalantra for a message. So she's communing with Amalantra, and at 4 p.m., Therion, which is a deity found in the mystical system of Thelema, which also Crowley identified himself with because, again, his mother called him a beast when he was a kid. So anything associated with the beast, he took on as the moniker and also, you know, added 666 onto it just for a little pizzazz. He did call himself Master Therion. So when you see Therion used in these instances with Rhodey in the Amalantra workings, they are talking about Crowley. They enter this astral plane together. They meet this king there, the king I just told you about, which is associated with Ham, and they quiz him, and he gets them to the wizard Amalantra. Now, at this point, Crowley is trying to get as much as he can, and he wasn't going to miss the opportunity to find the true spelling of Baphomet. His title as the OTO British head and the name given to the idol of medieval Templars that they allegedly worship, which you know from what I said earlier. So when he asked to know what the true spelling of Baphomet was, it was given back to him as B-A-F-O-M-I capital T-H, which was seven letters. Now, Crowley said that it was missing the eighth letter. The Hebrew Reish flashed into Crowley's mind, and it gave him B-A-F-O-M-I-T-H-R, which added to the 729, a number already related to an eightfold column and interpreted by Crowley as a transliteration of the Greek Baphe Mithra, or baptism of Mithra, the militant sun god, while the letter Reish means the head of a man, as the idol of Baphomet was said to be. So at this point, he realizes with this spelling, this is definitely attributed to Baphomet, and Crowley is always associating himself with sun gods. You'll see this throughout. He parallels himself to Ra from Egyptian mythology as well. You'll see even when he looks back on how his father was killed and his retribution for how his father was killed throughout his life, he attributes himself to being Ra and trying to get revenge for his father. And one day we'll get into that too, but again, this is the idea of this Mithra, the militant sun god. So he is definitely at this point zoning in. He's like, no, this is the spelling of Baphomet, the true spelling, and this is who I am. I am the embodiment, the earthly shell of Baphomet. Now, you may say, why'd you go on a whole spiel about Baphomet? Well, the EGI guys, the elite gender inversion guys, say that this is what the whole basis of the gender inversion is built on, is the idea of Baphomet, because they are trying to mimic in our earthly vessels what the god Baphomet actually is. Now, if we're looking at it from an esoteric occultic realm, I could say that it's possible, because you could see throughout history where people try to do things for the gods that they worship. We know from human sacrifices, the sex magic, whatever else these gods tell people to do, they do. And I think this kind of falls into that category, but I don't necessarily think it's all, right? I think there might be a small, very small percentage of the celebrity world, or what you would call the elite world, that's actually performing this. I think it's virtually impossible for it to be all. I don't see a world where it is. Also, I think if that's happening, then God has no power at that point, because evil's just running rampantly around doing whatever they want with no checks and balances. And I just don't think that's possible. Now, we'll get into a few more of these people who the EGI transvestigators think that are actually transgenders in hiding in this esoteric realm. And some of these names are going to blow your mind, and please just hang tight, because I'm not saying I'm buying into it. I'm just trying to tell you that This is what the conspiracy theory is. You're going to see that a lot on the show, where I'm breaking down a conspiracy theory so we can look at it objectively and say, is there any truth to it? What can we actually do with it? And it's even relevant to our lives as we push forward as human beings trying to create a better world. So Anne Frank, no lie, Anne Frank, the Anne Frank, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the bodybuilder from the 80s, Kyle Rittenhouse. And the reason why Kyle Rittenhouse got outed as a transgender was because he had some not so nice things to say about Donald Trump. So, of course, the Trump crowd came out and said he was a transgender now. Elon Musk is said to be a transgender. Joseph Stalin, J.K. Rowling, Adolf Hitler. He was a woman with a fake mustache, is what they said. And matter of fact, this will get even crazier. RuPaul is actually a woman pretending to be a man pretending to be a woman. So I gotta, oh my God, sometimes, man, this stuff. Yeah, maybe. You know, listen, man, I get weird. I really will get weird. But sometimes I do think that these conspiracies are just put out there to make us look crazy. Make us look as crazy as possible. Now, one of the big ones is Brigitte Macron, the First Lady of France. And I told you she sought legal action against the allegation she was born a male. Now, the conspiracy theory is she was previously known as Jean-Michel Trinier, and has been traced to a far-right author in France and has trended on social media. So this is like the French version of Michelle Obama. It's pretty hot, and I want to show some pictures up here too, and you can take a look at it. It's actually said that Jean-Michel was her brother, and the theory is that the brother just changed into the sister and became this inversion that became the wife of the current president of France, Emmanuel Macron, which I don't know. You know, I look at the pictures, you could say, yeah, there's some similarities there, but was it actually her brother? You know, that part hasn't really been verified. Did her brother die before? Was this, you know, an actual inversion? I don't know. Just because somebody looks alike doesn't mean that they're necessarily a gender inversion. You know, I'm sure all of us have about 30 doppelgangers, at least in a world of, you know, 7 billion plus around the world. So I don't know. I'm not saying no or yes. I'm saying it looks kind of weird. I know that it turned into such a massive thing. The fact that she's trying to sue people, you could look at it a couple ways. You could say that she's suing people because she's actually wrongfully been accused, or she's doing it to deflect from the fact that maybe this is part of this inversion that's going on. But it's one of the hot ones. And another hot one, and I brought it up earlier, and you know, we can't talk about EGI if we're not going to talk about Michelle Obama. So, yes, there was a photo, several photos, whatever, of Barack Obama with a man identified as Michael LaVon Robinson. And I think everybody in this conspiratorial world has seen something along these lines. Not going to lie, looks weird. It looked super in the same pocket, like they could be brother and sister. Yeah, but it's from all indications that, you know, that's not the case. There's no photos of Michelle Obama being pregnant. But again, with like IVF and stuff, if you're doing IVF with a surrogate, doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they're not her kids, but a little weird. The family friends, which Anita Blanchard and Martin Nesbitt, very close friends to the Obamas, and they actually delivered both Obama girls. And the crazy thing is, there is a picture or pictures with Blanchard and Nesbitt with Sasha and Malaya, and they look very much alike. It looks like that they're the family as far as just looking at it from a basic eyeball genetics, right? Now, we all know about Alex Jones and what he came out and said. We know some of the videos that he produced. Not going to say they are weird. Not going to say that, hey, maybe something's going on there. I think the weirdest thing was Joan Rivers before she died, when she came out and said that Obama was the first gay president and Michelle was a transgender. Some of those things are hard to look past. And I think that if we look at it objectively, we are able to look at a series of pieces of information that we can say, okay, here is a little bit of a list. Now I can put a little bit of effort into thinking like this is a possibility. A lot of these other ones, they're saying it on what they call these earmarks or markers of being a male to female or female to male inversion. And I'm getting into some of these earmarks here in a second, but these earmarks or markers aren't always indicative of some sort of change. I can tell you a lot of these, and I've looked through them. I've seen all the videos. I've seen the pictures. I know people in high school, when I was in high school, I know people in college when I was in college. I know people in real life right now that have a bunch of these markers, and I know that they're not a transgender. So people are people, and we all have quirks. We all have things. It's just not as cut and dry as that. It's just not. So to say that they didn't hit these 20 markers, I know they are. No. And there's no way that guys like Dwayne The Rock Johnson or Arnold Schwarzenegger or these high-level athletes that are said to be female-to-male transgenders, how it's even possible? Listen, they'll say they were in skin suits. And it's like you would see the skin suit ripple. The guys are wrestling. The guys are playing football. Now, you may wonder, how do they get around that? How would they say that a female could compete in this arena? Well, they got stuff for that, too. And it's creative. And don't get me wrong. Like, if you're going to go down the super, 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 super weird route, maybe. So the idea is, in EGI, underground, there are underground societies of Nephilim giants and labs where they are creating these Nephilim. I'm not saying that there's not a possibility for that. And you know how I feel about the Nephilim agenda and what I think that gray aliens actually are and what they could be trying to produce. The idea is they take the female version of these Nephilim and they switch them. They invert them from a young age. So as they get older, they're able to compete with the men because they are Nephilim. So they're super strong, super fast, and they can compete with the men. I don't know how I buy that. The only reason I say that is if you were a Nephilim female, I just feel like you'd be so much better than just the average person. I don't care if you're male or female. I don't think you'd be even be close unless you're holding back. Maybe we'll go down that rabbit hole. You're holding back just to make yourself fit in, make it work. I don't know. I just feel like it's a lot of mental gymnastics to make a lot of this work. And I want to pull up this website and feel free to go by there if you want to. Don't get lost down there, rabbits. I know you can. And before you know it, you're sucked down this website and you're like, it's all true. They knew it. I don't think so. EGI.fakeologist.com. And this is one of the big EGI sites. Now, it's so funny. They're opening statement says, researching elite gender inversion has been quite a ride so far, and there have been many fellow conspiracy theorists that rather prefer that we stand down and stay away from anything EGI on the certitude it is all a psyop. Oh, wow. That sentence right there makes me want to stand down. You're right. I'm going to stand down, and you guys have it. You anonymous posting website that has all the truth. Indeed, to put down our arms and leave our critical minds at bay would indeed be more to the elite's liking than pursuing knowledge, even in directions most of us experience as highly uncomfortable, even distasteful. However, we have an innate urge to find meaning and sense in following information to gain better insight and more solid standing. We have to support conflicting views, fallacies, ridicule, and straight-out foul play. I'm frankly appreciative of fellow members who have had the stomach to follow the EGI research and very thankful to those that have contributed to the discussion, be it in agreement or polite opposition. And it goes on and on. And it's basically just telling you, hey, listen, we're not a psyop, guys. Listen to us. Go back and listen to episode one if you haven't, because I explain a lot of what I think these things are. EGI, I think, is one of the big ones. It's up there with Mandela Effect. It's up there with Tartaria. It's up there with Flat Earth. It's up there with these conspiracy theories that I think will have an emoticon of truth to them, but then get gets blown way out of proportion to where people are literally fighting each other online over if someone's a male or a female. I've seen it. I do social media accounts for several Truth podcasts, and I posted for one of them recently, and it had nothing to do with EGI at all. It was about, I can't even remember what it was about right now, but I know Paris Hilton was a part of it. It was maybe like 5-10 seconds she was a part of this, like a minute 30 clip. And there were so many people that were like, that's a man, that's a man. And all these people are like, it's good to see all the people so awake in here. It makes me feel good. I'm like, what if you're all deceived? What if she's not actually a man? Have you ever thought about that? IVF, again, is not the end-all be-all to being an inversion. It's just not. It's just not. Plastic surgery is not the end-all be-all to inversion. It's just not. Again, I'm not saying this stuff doesn't exist. I think there is a small percentage of Hollywood, politics, whatever, that adhere to these rules of this worship of Baphomet. And I think that there is a possibility that there is some of this. I've already told you some of the people where I'm like, it's kind of weird. It doesn't really add up. But I'm not going to sit there and say for sure that I know. I'm not these people's doctor. I don't know. And again, I don't think everybody in Hollywood's bad. You don't think there's not Christians that are working in Hollywood or sports or politics? Not everyone's evil. Like, it's just so mind-blowing. We turn it into everything because we have to, because we don't understand it. So if we can't connect to these people and we don't understand it, it's evil in the conspiratorial world. And I'm not saying go to the other extent where you got the people that idolize and worship these people to the point they could do no wrong. There has to be a balance, always. And I just think this EGI has none at all. So now we'll break down some of this methodology and the skeletal markers, just so you guys can get an idea of, you know, how this actually works. Because it's, I'm just going to be honest with you, some of it makes sense because you can make anything make sense, right? You can go back to what we talked about earlier, confirmation bias. We can always make something fit our bias, always. And I think EGI is absolutely no different. So males and females have distinct skeletal features and proportions that we are able to use to differentiate between the sexes. This is true. Unfortunately, this natural ability and knowledge in distinguishing between male and female has been programmed out of us. It's not a coincidence that they don't teach anatomy as a standard in schools. All we learn in school are the differences in reproductive organs, yet the skeleton is the primary indicator of sex used by forensics. Again, this is true. The practice of gender inversion in elite circles is part of their satanic religion. Baphomet worship. Again, if I'm going to take on board any of this gender inversion in elite circles, I would say that this is probably a true statement as well. It's an occult practice. And they say that not all celebrities, elite figures are transgender, but it's a significant number. And when they say significant number, they're talking 90%, 95%. And again, there's a lot that think it's all. So here's an idea of some of these traits. Shoulder width and shape. Size of the hips relative to the shoulders, shape of the back curvature, the Q angle. By the way, the Q angle is measured by extending a line through the center of the patella to the anterior superior iliac spine and another line from the tibial tubercle through the center of the patella. Normal Q angle scores for females is between 13 to 18 degrees and in males is between 12 to 15 degrees. And it will show these Q angles of celebrities, and they'll show it's off by this 2 degrees. It means they're a man or a woman. And I can tell you right now, that's just not definable by the naked eye. It's just not. I don't care who you think you are. You're not. Back to anatomy, you didn't study anatomy either. And you're not able to eyeball it like that either. And most people that believe in EGI aren't even doing it themselves. They are looking at what someone else did the research on. Then you got to wonder who's actually doing the research to give you the info that you're now following. Have you thought about that? Do people really know these people? I see these weird accounts go up that are super anonymous. And they got all this info. And you know what people always say in the conspiratorial world? They have to. They got to do that. Because if they don't, the elites are coming after them. No, the elites already know, I promise you, because they can track their IP address. from their phone. They know where they're at. If they're using an iPhone, they probably got facial recognition. If they got a Droid, same thing. No different. You can track their phones. You know, I just don't understand where, like, the level of real critical thinking comes in with some of this stuff. Relative size of skull, neck, arms, legs, feet, and kneecaps. Digital ratio. They'll say that the man's ring finger is going to be longer always than a female's ring finger. And they will show these celebrities or these politicians or political figures and say, look, there's the skeletal remains of said dead historical figure, and they'll show that the ring finger is smaller, so they were for sure a woman masquerading as a man. You'll see this all the time. I just don't think that's going to be the end-all be-all for every person. It's impossible. Brow ridge, jawline, Adam's apple, some of that I can get with. You know, the Adam's apple is a big one when it comes to a marker and body fat. And this is another weird one right here. This is having me kind of... Also, males and females have different energy, for lack of a better word, in their eyes. Males tend to have a hard, sharp, or slightly intimidating look in their stare, and females tend to have a softer look. FDM tend to have a lost or distant look in their eyes. This is obviously subjective, but there's a distinction to be made there. They're just saying it's subjective, but yet it's a marker. Boy, if that male ain't looking hard, sharp, or intimidating, that's a female. And if that male's looking soft, that's a female. Like, don't make a lot of sense. Male to female markers. You got the Adam's apple, which will be on a female. Wide jaw from the front, square jaw from the side. Square shoulders. Brow bossing, or the thickening of the brow ridge, which they say is done with prosthetics. Sloping back forehead. High, wide cheekbones. Tree trunk-like neck. Narrow hips with a straight up and down contour. I can tell you right now, I know men right now that have none of these things that I've grown up with. Very feminine looking men. Not their fault. It's how they're born. You know, they work out. They just have feminine features. Same thing with females I know. Have square jaws, look a little more on the masculine side. Doesn't mean that they are MTF or FTM. That's the funny part. We look at celebrities and we're like, oh yeah, that's it. But everybody else walking around you will have the same traits. You're not saying that about them. But see, the celebrity and the politician and the sports athlete lives in a sphere that we can't get to. So then we project these crazy ideas on that because we don't know. So we just start projecting a bunch of stuff. Female to male markers, oval face, narrow cheekbones, absence of brow bossing, narrow jaws, tiny neck, concaves on the sides, close set eyes, face comes to the point at the chin. I know men that have that. Sloping jawbone that rounds at the mandible, proportionally smaller ears. I got small ears. Am I one? Forehead contour that runs straight up from the nose bridge and rounds out mid-forehead, slanted shoulders. Male pubescent voice that never grew up because of hormones. All right, maybe. Again, if it is an actual transition, I'm sure they're working on some of these things. I just don't think that these things are what you point to and you just know. You just can't. They say that modern surgical techniques enable some of these skeletal features to be removed, such as the slight protrusion of the ridge bone above the eyes, and others to be added, such as small prosthesis in the chin to give it a more rounded female look. However, certain skeletal features are harder to conceal, such as the more deeply set and more widely spaced male eyes, the larger male jaw, the wider male mouth, and the longer neck and Adam's apple, the high male forehead, and the length of the ring finger, which in a male is nearly always longer than the index finger. Among women, the index finger is usually longer than the ring finger. So again, this is just a deeper breakdown of what the markers are and saying how that they can change them. If someone's trying to change over to the opposite sex, then I'm sure some of this is involved here. But again, I don't think that this is just the how it's always done or like all of these people are that. So I'll give you a few names because get you going here. I gave you a few earlier, but Ben Stiller's one of them. Nikola Tesla, that's another one. They got a whole thing on this site I just told you where they show pictures of Nikola Tesla. And we don't even know if those are real pictures of Tesla. Nobody really knows what Tesla looks like, even though the pictures that we've seen are what Tesla's supposed to look like. A lot of people think Tesla could have just been a moniker or not even a real person. But this, if these pictures are real, they say that it's a fake mustache, fake wig, Tessa was a female. Jimmy Savile was a female. Now, I think Jimmy Savile was an awful person and was a got caught with a lot of nastiness over in the UK, but I don't necessarily think Jimmy Savile was a transgender, maybe. Friedrich Nietzsche. There's another one. All these historical figures. How can you know that these historical figures from just ages ago are part of this elite inversion? Adam Curry from No Agenda, that one blew my mind. And they said that there were people that got mad at Adam Curry because he was supposed to be against the system with his podcast, No Agenda, and said that he's also part of EGI. George Carlin. He's another one. They said they implemented him in to stand-up comedy to make people think that he was against the system, but to lead people astray. I'm like, okay. Megan Fox, we do know that Megan Fox jokingly said she was a man on camera. Again, those are the type that are more red flags to me, where they do what people would consider revelation of the method, right? Maybe that is some sort of call sign. I don't know. And she could have just been joking. You know what I mean? Like, you know, these celebrities and these elites play into our conspiracies and fears, right? You know that they play it up. It's not always that they're being on the nose with it. Sometimes they're messing with us. So sometimes it's not even true. They're just messing with us to make us think that it's true. That's like the ultimate psyop. So that one I don't know, but again, weird that she said she was a man in an interview. I've seen it. Ann Coulter, Steffi Graf, Gwen Stefani, Sandra Bullock, Marilyn Monroe, Cher, Keira Knightley, Courtney Cox, Mariah Carey, Miley Cyrus, Angelina Jolie, Famke Janssen, Melania Trump, Heidi Klum, Eva Longoria, Gwyneth Paltrow, just to name a few more. That people have them up to these markers and say that they are part of this EGI. Now, before I get out of here, I want to show some statistics, right? I think this will help us understand how this EGI in Hollywood or the elite system just isn't possible on such a wide scale. It's just not. Because in 2022, they did a report of how many transgenders are in the U.S. population, the percentage, 0.5%. 0.5. The research also showed that in 5% of young adults, they identified as transgender. So you're going to see it go up a little bit in the young adults because of the push for the transgender movement over the past, 6 to 8 years. So you're going to see that upswing in the younger crowd. But overall, we're looking at 0.5%. Throughout the world, we're looking at really like 0.6%. The highest number of trans people are in countries, Germany and Sweden, which are going to hit around like 3% in those countries, a higher percentage. So I bring that up to say that 0.5%, take that number and look at Hollywood or politics, and you're probably about right. Probably about the same arena. Maybe a little more. Maybe this EGI is somewhat of a thing, and some of these high-level personalities have had this done since birth or later on in life, and then they're implemented into the system. I don't know. I'm giving it the possibility, right? So you want to ask me what I think about EGI at the end of all this, and especially after looking at 0.5% as of 2022, the report that was done, I just don't think it's very likely. Not on a wide scale. I really don't. And I think that it is very ineffective for us as people who are trying to find the truth, trying to push back against some of these narratives that are being pushed on us, to buy into this wholeheartedly. I just don't think that it's healthy. And it's one of those ones. Like I said, it goes back to episode one. This is absolutely one of those conspiracies that I don't give a whole lot of credence to. And listen, I've been down this rabbit hole to the point where I'm like, oh, yeah, I can't anymore. Like, I think I went on a whole thing for like 2 or 3 months where there were some big YouTube guys back when they were letting a lot of this be on YouTube. And I'm like, well, maybe, you know, and even now I see stuff where I'm like, maybe, and I'm not throwing it out. And I gave you like what Baphomet is. So you get the idea that Baphomet is in the modern incarnation, this god of balance. It mixes the two genders. So yes, if you are going to perform this EGI, this elite gender inversion, it would be to Baphomet. So I'm not throwing that out. I'm just saying my thoughts and doing, you know, just off and on for years looking into this thing, I don't think it holds a lot of weight. I just don't. And I know there'll be some people that are probably get really mad about that because this is one of this is my thing. This is my thing, my conspiracy. And I get it. Like, I'm not here to tell you that your research is awful or you haven't, you know, done the research. You know, I think people might hear me do this podcast today and say, you just haven't gone deep enough. That's what you hear a lot of times when you, in this community, when you disagree with certain conspiracies, you haven't gone deep enough, or you haven't done as much research as me. Maybe I haven't done the same research as you. I've done a lot on this, and I just think that this is one of those ones that's built probably by and controlled by three-letter agencies to make us look stupid, but also has some levels of truth to it. And I think that's where it gets dicey, where there's probably some stuff in here that hold some weight. But I think overall, just look at 0.5%. Think about that in your mind when you think about EGI. That's all I'm asking. Before I get out of here, I'm going to read some reviews like I do every week. Listen, you guys have been running up the 5-star reviews. I really appreciate it. You guys don't know how much it means to me, one, because then you're connecting with the material. Also, it really helps the algorithm. It really helps the show get to other people. You know, I say this every week, go to Apple Podcasts, go to Spotify, give a 5-star review, write a review where you can, go to YouTube, like, share, subscribe, hit the notifications, share on any platform. Make sure you're getting it out to everybody. We're going to start with Apple. We got GQ Remix, my go-to podcast. I've been listening and known of Joel for a while from the Confessionals podcast. I really enjoy listening to Joel Thomas speak on anything. The guy is well-read, informative, aware, and thoughtful. On top of that, his music is next level. I feel like Joel is a kindred spirit because I'm also a producer-songwriter. I played in bands originally from Nashville. I've been in the room with producers and middlemen on Music Row telling me, hey, we're going to drug you up and just shove you out on stage. I've seen the evil in the music industry firsthand. Now I see it everywhere as my awareness has grown since then. I grew up in a Christian home and my mother is nearly a saint if Southern Methodists had saints. I recently turned 40 and this past year I've been trying to follow Christ, but I am very alone in that pursuit as there are substance abuse issues in my family and a lot of times I just feel alone in Christ. Joel started a ministry. That's something I would want to join. Joel, keep killing it, man. Hope to cross paths someday. This recent material on AI is phenomenal. I do want to hear more about Joel's personal experiences before coming back to Christ. One episode to tell it all would be epic. Appreciate that, GQ Remix. Don't feel alone. Frankly, you're not alone because you do have Christ, so know that. Secondly, you got a bunch of free-range rabbits that listen to this show. We're everywhere. Do your best to connect, though, with people, even if they don't think like you, or connect to, you know, others when you're out. That's something I'm getting better at over the years too, is trying to extend the hand to people, even if I don't feel like it, you know? And I think that's how we learn to connect with people. Don't get so caught up in your conspiratorial mind that you look at people and judge them for not being able to quote unquote see what you can see. I think that's very important for us to do. The rabbits are free. This is from Kim's B. Trailin. I like that name. I got a couple of black rabbits from a local farm store, pulled them around in a rabbit tractor a couple months until they got used to the area. You know what I did? I freed them rabbits. Now they're free range in the yard, chilling with the chickens and cows. In the evening, they like to relax by me on the front porch. Moral of the story, the rabbits are free. Oh, and love the podcast. That was super fire. That was crazy. That's pretty awesome. We got My Cat's a Stargazer, piece of the puzzle. Thank you for outstanding research and findings. Your music is dope and hope to collaborate in the future. Cheers from the Navajo, dying pronounced Diné Nation. Thank you, My Cat's a Stargazer. I think cats are probably stargazer. stargazers into another realm. All right, we got Spotify. We got No Way. Love you, Joel. Hands down, you motivate me to be a better human, to be a more authentic person. Much love from Nicholas in Nebraska. Keep up the fire content. Appreciate your wisdom. We got R. Williams. Thanks, Joel. The whole space has become inundated with well-intentioned speculators and ill-intentioned agents of disinformation. You're a breath of fresh air. Would love to hear your thoughts on the new age spiritual push. The sudden influx of attractive women pushing crystal vibrations and energy healing is whack. My discernment meter is screaming. Are they all just demons in yoga pants, or is there some kind of neutrality to the whole thing? God bless you, Willie. Wise a lot, Willie. I would have to really break down everything you just said there. I don't think that everyone's a demon. I think that would be ludicrous. This is very much like the EGI where we're like, well, they're all this. And I don't think that's the case. Let's see. We got Justin Williams. Love the episode, Joel. Keep up the Lord's work. He put on your path for a reason. I can't wait to see where it takes you, brother. Appreciate that. And now we got YouTube. We got Candy Wolf 1125. Thank you from a non-religious 65-year-old lady. It's good to hear. We don't need to be following religion, but we do need to follow the Lord. We got Stance 65. You do such a great job presenting both sides. Try to. There will be some trolls out there that would argue that I do not, but I'm sure. So we've got 88 Earth Star. Oh, Joel's great. Another great, inspiring, and thought-provoking episode. Appreciate that, Earth Star. We try to, you know, keep it real as possible around here. Guys, I really appreciate it. Again, if you can, go give a 5-star anywhere you can. Write a comment wherever you can. Love you guys to death. We're going to end this episode on my song Pulp. And hope you guys enjoy it. And you know how we do it here, guys. Go outside, touch grass, and get your tail out the hole.
Subconscious looming, hung over my thoughts, consuming, playing with death like I'm spooning. Everything I'm chasing, eluding me. This prison awaits, I can't find escape, cause I wanna taste the change.
Wanna know what the definition of a sorry is? Everything I'm chasing out of reach like Shatari ships. I feel when people say they feel me, they just say they do. Tentacles of praise turning into calamari soup. A little stretch, every song I bleed. Just a little recognition is all I need. And God, I'm feeling growth, but every time I look inside, I'm looking at the branches of a bonsai tree. And I don't know what I'ma leave when I leave here, cause the mic's just become a pair of sheep shears. And I'm fighting for change, but legacy's important too. Scrambling for more days, more leap years. Feeling like a mega block around some Lego. In a chamber of my own thoughts, my own echoes. Lows never seem to hit the falsetto.
Is it wrong for me to judge myself? Is it wrong for me to judge what I've done, know where I'm going, yeah. Is it wrong for me to see what I'm going to be and where I'm going, yeah.
Is the juice worth a squeeze, or am I left with a bone?
I'm a left.
Oh, I wanna know. Is the juice worth a squeeze, or am I left with?
Part of the healing, ayy. Leave you with nothing concealing, ayy. Most of us run from affliction, to some of us it's an addiction. The way that the rays from the sun keep coming up missing.